Shalom, good evening. I could offer this crazy resolution for the evening. Let the state of Israel cease to exist, and then thus we solve all the problems of the world. You know, those protocols of the old people of Zion have been manipulating the free world for way too many centuries. And it's about time we put a stop to it. Israel, this pain in the neck of the Middle East, should vanish. And then, I mean, it's so tiny, no one would really feel if it goes away somewhere. And then, momentarily, the whole Arab world will flourish. Their economy, they'll have democracy, no more oil crisis. I mean, this tiny thing goes away, and, you know, it's a Disney movie all of a sudden. Well, I wish this scenario could happen. Well, no, I don't. I'm Israeli. And I do not believe in this type of solutions for any conflict. I came here with this little poem. Actually, it's a song that was written in Israel in 1969. And I would like to read the English translation and tell you a little story about this song. Where did my baby go? My baby, where is he gone? A black pawn is striking a white pawn. My father is now dead. My father won't come back. A white pawn is striking now the black. The tears in every room and all this silence mean the king is busy playing with the queen. My child won't rise again. He's sleeping on and on. A white pawn is striking a black pawn. My father's in the dark. He'll never see the light. A black pawn is striking now the white. The tears in every room and all this silence mean the king is busy playing with the queen. My bosom baby now is glowing in the dawn. A white pawn is striking a black pawn. My warm-hearted father, his heart is out of sight. A black pawn is striking now the white. The tears in every room and all this silence mean the king is busy playing with the queen. Where did my baby go? My baby, where is he gone? The black pawn's dead, and so is the white pawn. My father is now dead. My father won't come back. There's no white pawn, and there is no more black. The tears in every room and all this silence mean an empty board with only king and queen. This little poem or song was written by Chanoch Levin, an Israeli playwright and poet, back in 69, 2 years after the big victory of the 67 Six-Day War, in which Israel occupied such huge territories. It was part of a political anti-war cabaret in Tel Aviv. And back then, it was considered heresy. Chanoch Levin and the cast of this cabaret were considered enemies of the people, dissidents, you name it. People demanded to close down the show. Less than 15 years later, this song became part of the canon of official Israeli memorial songs, mourning songs. And since then, it's been performed in the most official state and even military memorial services on Memorial Day for Israel's dead. Because this is the way the Israeli people feel about the situation. This has been the truest, the deepest craving that the people of Israel have had for years and years and years. One craving, and that is peace. It is true that not every Israeli is willing to pay the same price for that peace. This is true. There's one guy nodding, very sure of himself. I mean, it's very easy from here. I mean, some people are so threatened about their lives or feel threatened, or maybe they're just paranoid, or maybe they're maniacs. They want to get peace for nothing. Some people are willing to give more than half of what they have in order to get peace. Very few people are willing to give their lives for peace. Thank God not the majority are suicidal. But people do want peace. True peace, peace of mind. The Jewish people has suffered too much, especially in this, in the 20th century, last century, that people want peace of mind, people don't want to die, and people don't particularly enjoy killing unless they're doing some teenage movie in the United States. Killing in real life is not fun, trust me. I mean, don't trust me, I've never tried it. And the people in Israel were really devastated because in the last 8 years we felt that we were finally reaching something that would be called peace, coexistence in the Middle East. Since the Oslo Accord, I mean, Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin was murdered because he sought peace, and some people in Israel thought that he gave up too much. We gave up, we lost a leader. And the process kept going and going and going, maybe slow, maybe lame, maybe clumsy, giving up planned, reaching towards this dream is no fairy tale, it's not a musical, I'm sorry. Things don't always go the way we wish them to go. And a few months ago, last July, in the Camp David summit, we felt that we were so close to peace. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak was willing to go further than any former Israeli leader ever did. He was willing to give up 90-something percent of the occupied territories, remove, I think, somewhere between 85 to 95% of the settlements, and leave only a few that were along the old border, which wouldn't make that much of a difference. And he was willing to offer other optional territory to the Palestinians instead of this narrow line of settlements that we asked to keep there. He was willing to negotiate Jerusalem, the future of Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, the capital of the Jewish people for so many thousands of years, a symbolic place for all religions. We were there first. I'm sorry. I mean, he was willing to give up half of the old city of Jerusalem. He was willing to give back all the east part of Jerusalem where Arabs live, to give it to the Palestinian Authority, to make Jerusalem the Palestinian capital as well. The only issue that remained was jurisdiction over Temple Mount, in which the old temple from the Old Testament used to be, and now the Arab mosques. And next to it, the Western Wall. Israel and the United States sought so many imaginative solutions. Arafat, about the jurisdiction, jurisdiction of God, joint jurisdiction. We were so close to peace. I mean, people have to compromise. We felt that Israel went a long way, a way that politically was almost suicidal for Ehud Barak. But he was going to go that way just in order to achieve peace. Arafat, at this stage, got cold feet and decided, I mean, I can't speak for him, Iman should. But at this stage, when you are a leader of a people that has suffered for so many generations, a people that never had independence, not under the Turkish occupation, not under the British occupation, not between 48 and 67 while they were under Jordanian and Egyptian occupation. First time to get independence. So close. And he chose to start the riots again, to push children forward, to get them killed for a good photo opportunity. In Israel, we pray for peace. It's very shaky right now, but having been such a survivor people, we're not giving hope on peace. We might have to put a time out to it. We might have to put it on hold, but we will get there because we recognize nothing but peace and democracy. Thank you.